In the history of the church, we did it a little differently this time, and Karen will explain that in just a second. But I just want to tell you ahead of time that we're looking at this through the part of it through the eyes of Pastor Bixler, and that's where she'll go in a second. But it's just been a blessing to be here. There's been many changes over the years, and yet the Lord is faithful in all these things. So we'll just press on. We have a script. And all of a sudden, in the last few minutes, some notes came across the top, said, be sure to speak loudly, speak slowly, and keep your eye contact. I don't know who could have written that on there, but so we'll move ahead. Okay, Karen.
On a sunny fall morning, Bob and I set out for Bern, Indiana, to visit the founding pastor of Westerville Bible Church, Roger Bixler, and his wife, Emma Jane. As we drove through farmland, some fields were being harvested of their corn or beans, reminding us of Jesus' admonition to the disciples to look at the fields white unto harvest. Pastor Bixler showed us, our Swiss village, our destination, has senior apartments, a rehab center, a health center, and a child care area, all under one roof. And so Pastor Bixler met us at the front and showed us their two-room apartment. It was compact and cheerful. Both Bixlers are in their early 90s and in reasonably good health. The apartment is too small for wheelchairs, so Emma Jane, who still needs one after breaking her hip last year, must live in the rehab section. As we wound through the hallways to visit her, Pastor proudly showed us the sunny, smaller dining room where he took his meals, and further on, the large gathering room where they met for church. He greeted staff and residents by name, sometimes giving us their brief history.
When we four were settled in a large empty room, we began the interview with Pastor Bixler, and we had previously sent him a half a dozen questions or so to review ahead of time, and he certainly enjoyed his chance to reminisce and he reminded us that Karen and I were the first ones saved through the ministry of Westerville Bible Church way back in 1965. I hate to mention how far ago that was, but so we'll intersperse their answers with some of the photos here and some other bits that go beyond that history. Roger and Emma Jane were born in Bern, Indiana, where they now live, and they were married in the huge, and I mean huge, Mennonite church that takes up the whole center of the town. It's an amazing large building, and it's right in sight of where they live right now. And after college, seminary, and other areas of service, they had their first church in Wisconsin. During the 5 years there, the church raised funds to build a small building. He joked that it was so small that you were either inside or outside, which was not enjoyable in a Wisconsin winter. This church is still going strong today, and they even send monthly support to the Bixlers. Their Wisconsin church joined the Independent Fundamental Churches of America and sent their pastor, Roger Bixler, to a regional conference in Pennsylvania. Also attending that conference was a fellow seminarian, John Ashbrook, whose father, William Ashbrook, shown here, pastored Calvary Bible Church in Columbus. This meeting put ideas in Pastor Bixler's mind. Would there be a church in Ohio in need of a pastor? Later, one person who helped answer that question was Graydon Cox. Many remember him, and we certainly know and love his wife, Dorothy. He knew of an Ohio church that wanted to plant a church in a nearby community, and before long, Pastor Bixler received a call from William Ashbrook inviting him down for an interview. He obviously got the job.
In 1962, the Bixlers packed their household goods and three daughters and headed south. Their girls were Brenda, age 5, Jill, 4, and Karen, 2. Who had the right picture?
I did? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
They moved into a house owned by William Ashbrook near the front of a large tract of his land on Schrock Road in Westerville. This house also became the home for the new Westerville Bible Church.
Okay, I want to make a comment here on the people in the picture. This was a few years after the church was established. Matter of fact, this was at Karen and my wedding in 1965, but they're here with another family that was in the church, the Oley family, And it's interesting that Barb Oley in that picture just passed away at age 98. So pretty amazing.
On November 17th, 1963, 72 people filled chairs in the living room, dining room, and bedrooms of the Bixler's house for Sunday school classes. 76 people crowded into the L-shaped church basement for the first Sunday worship.
It was interesting. We got to attend a couple services when they were still in the house before the building was built. And I'm sure Jim remembers being over there. It's the house right out here. It looks a little different on the outside now, but I always thought it was weird and wondered how Pastor Bixler ever got through it, because it was L-shaped and there was a pulpit in the middle of the basement, and half the congregation was over there and the other half was over there, and most of them couldn't see each other. You can imagine the interaction and the way singing went and stuff. It was probably a little bit awkward, but it apparently worked. Okay. Pastor William Ashbrook from Calvary directed some of his Calvary Church congregation to start attending Westerville. He directed those who lived north of Morse Road and east of Cleveland Avenue to give their support to this church plant. And this original group of 40 from there became the nucleus of the baby church. This photo, which also was a few years later, shows many of the mature believers who transferred their membership to Westerville Bible Church at that time.
Perhaps some of you even recognize some of the people. You can see Emma Jane Bixler in the center there. Karen and Galen Johnson. Karen is in the center of the front row. My mother is there, who is key in getting us to come to church. She is the one on the left side in the second row. And Pastor Bixler is there in the back row. And also there's Mary Ellen Rupert, who is, Mary Ellen Leland, who was a Rupert. She is Dave Rupert's sister.
A year and a half after the first service, attendance had increased to around 100 in both Sunday school and in church. And perhaps the crowded conditions spurred the church on to break ground for their new building on May 24, 1964. Less than 6 months later, they held the first service in their new church. Can you imagine the building going up and being ready in 6 months? And in today's way things happen, that doesn't seem to be very popular. How possible? But the one thing about the building that you may not know is much of this building was actually kind of prefab. The floor that you're sitting on, which is the ceiling down below, arrived on several big trucks in big slabs of concrete that they just picked up with a crane and put in place on the basement, which the blocks had been put up and was ready to go, and it was very quick. And then the arches, the wooden arches that you see in the picture there and here, they all came in, of course, prefab, and I guess apparently within 2 days after the floor was done, they were up, and it only took about a week to get the basic roof on. I just can't see that sort of thing happening today, but it was pretty amazing.
However, Pastor Bixler did comment that he had said, you need to put tar paper on, and they said, no, we don't really need to. They did need to, and they sometime later had to replace the roof. So speed isn't always the great thing. let's see here. As the church grew, Sunday school classes for primaries and juniors were added, and Wednesday night classes for juniors and teens began. At that time, the juniors were called Jet Cadets. Then they became the Junior Astronauts. Here, they're showing off their pets and hobbies. There again, the older people might recognize some of those young people in the picture. 1964 saw some other firsts. The first Sunday school picnic. First Thanksgiving service with other churches invited. And the first watch night service on New Year's Eve. When we had individual Sunday school classes, they used to have them, they join as a Sunday school class. Today we have whole church events, but we used to have Sunday school events back then. The following year, 1965, the Women's Missionary Group began. The ladies kept in touch with our missionary families through personal letters, birthday cards, and Christmas cards, and they made little prizes for the mission's outreach to children. Every year, they organized the whole church to send Christmas gifts to the families. On the far left in that picture, you see Patty Perry, and behind her, Emma Jane Bixler. The church held its first DVBS in 1965. Often, the whole church was involved, with families providing teachers and students, bringing in neighbors, friends, and relatives. Here you see two people that you might recognize. There's Johnny Meyer, our youngest son, and Zachary Hamilton, the Hamilton's oldest son. And in the next picture, you see another Hamilton son, Sterling, with his fellow, what was that called that year? The VBS was called Visit to the Holy Land. And some of those VBSs that we had were really exciting. We had such inventive things happen. We enjoy them. The whole church enjoyed them very much.
Westerville Bible Church always encouraged an interest in missions.
Wait a second.
Did I skip one?
Yes.
Uh-oh. You're right. Go ahead.
That's yours, honey. I'll read it for you. The church held its first baptismal service in 1966. That year, the Sunday school attendance set a record of 152. On the left is Patty Perry with the toddlers in about 1982. And on the right, Carol Thompson leads singing in a class of juniors, which includes Sterling Hamilton, Jill and Jody Meyer, and Kelly Corey. I don't know if you're close enough to see all those people.
Okay, so my turn now.
Yes, your turn.
Westerville Bible Church has always encouraged support for missions, and this interest in missions was right from the beginning. And they've always had a missionary speaker once a month back in the early days. And in 1966, the church held its first missions conference with Dr. Jerry Johnson and with Pastor Graydon Cox as our first missionaries. The Faith Promise goal for that year was $3,600, and the amount promised was $4,164.
So we are still using the Faith Promise plan, and it's working well to support our missionaries. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. It's interesting to see how many years ago things began, which we now take for granted. The choir began in 1966 and presented cantatas at Christmas and Easter. Beginning 5 years later, they wore their new blue robes. In 1967, the church purchased the Allen organ. The organ we have now is a larger one purchased with money from an estate bequest.
If you look carefully at this picture, you'll see the front of the church looked a lot different back then. It was decided a number of years ago to make solid walls at the front instead of those vertical 2x4s or whatever they were, because it was very awkward when holding a baptismal service to have a person walk to the baptismal font from the side. Now that it's at least partially hidden back there, it makes it much, much easier to do. And then, of course, it's hard to tell in this picture, but the pulpit is lower and has been moved forward more. And, of course, you can't see the pews in that picture, but we've been replaced with the chairs and so forth.
In 1967, the first rest home service was held at Elmer's Convalescent Center. Here you see Bob Griffin, who's Jim's father, playing a hymn on his harmonica. Today, Westerville people hold Bible studies at five different retirement homes.
In 1968, the church held evangelistic services with Paul Levine and Bob Finley. You remember them, Jim? Bob, though blind, played the guitar and sang to the accompaniment of Paul on his mandolin, and Paul's hard-hitting preaching on salvation would follow. These two, among many others, including Carl Johnson and Mel Efaw, were invited back regularly. In 1969, the Bible Mission, Ohio Bible Mission, purchased 360 acres near Chesterville, Ohio, for $75,000. To establish a Bible camp. This amount, through the Lord's help, was gathered within a month. The camp had some aging cabins and a few dilapidated buildings, but the main attractions were the lake and the wooded hills. The camp was officially dedicated as Peniel Bible Camp the following year. Now, 54 years later, Peniel lives up to its name as a place to meet God face to face.
In 1971, the first junior church service was held. The children ages 4 to 12 had their own special time during much of the morning service. The same year, the church library began lending out books. Pastor Bixler recalled the many young men still in seminary who came as summer assistants. In May of 1971, the first one of these summer assistants arrived. As the church grew, in 1976, the position changed to assistant pastor and drew those just graduated from seminary. Several served in this position over the years, including three who grew up at Westerville Bible: Mark Perry, John Traynor, and Randall Shanks. When Randall and his wife Julie served with us, they had one child. They now have a family of nine children, and he pastors a church in California. WBC enjoyed a spectacular strings concert by the whole family when they came east for a visit a few years ago.
In 1980, the church needed more space. The main auditorium was enlarged by knocking out the back wall and adding 10 feet along each side. And I think Ken mentioned this last week when he was giving his presentation. But the outside wall of the church used to be right at the end of the beams there, and they cantilevered out some more floor space and extended the walls. And there used to be two classrooms at the back that they've taken those walls down to make more room. Back of the church grew as well, with Sunday school rooms and a nursery and offices and so forth behind us, with a new addition on the back. And this is a photo here of the groundbreaking, and it shows Assistant Pastor Jerry Sammet, Pastor Bixler, Ron Shanks, who acted as our general contractor, and Willard Feely. You can't really get a feel for it from this picture, probably, but where they're standing is in the middle of the area where the classrooms are downstairs in the back. And you may not notice, but there used to be we had a driveway back there that connected both parking lots. And of course, when they added on the building, the driveway went away, and now you have to choose when you come to church where you're going to park. But it was an interesting and good time, and that it took about a year and a half for that whole process to take place. It's a lot interesting, much longer than the original church build. Missionary support, you're up.
Missionary support at Westerville Bible has grown from a small beginning in 1966, two missionaries and a yearly budget of $4,164. 56 years later, in 2022, we support 20 missionaries with a budget of $84,900. It's a special joy to support homegrown missionaries who have chosen to serve the Lord this way. Cindy Shanks grew up at WBC, went to Bob Jones University, and married Sam Brock. They count Westerville Bible Church as their sending church to Camp Ironwood in California. Brenda Bixler, oldest of the Bixler's girls, met her husband, Ron Roos, at Bob Jones University. They now serve as church planters in Nova Scotia. Abby Corey grew up at WBC and met her husband, Joe Nicholson, at Bob Jones University. They now serve in Wales with their five children. And this card shows them when they first went over there with no children and a beautiful background of the land that they are serving.
Mark Perry, who almost everyone here knows, I'm sure, grew up in this church and found his bride, Becca Helgerson, at Northland Baptist Bible College. This match was helped along by a retired missionary in our midst, Doris France, who urged Mark to meet this young lady because she and her husband had attended Bible school in Rhode Island with Becca's grandparents. After Mark graduated from Detroit Baptist Seminary, he served in Westerville here as assistant pastor for 10 years, and he now serves with his wife in Chile. Stephanie Capocha grew up at WBC and graduated from the Bible Institute of Ohio with another young man, Tom Baim, who attended WBC during that time. Now they serve in Italy with their four children. Kevin Thompson also grew up in Westboro Bible Church and graduated from Northland Baptist Bible College and Detroit Theological Seminary. He met and married Jenny, who had a matching interest in winning Muslims for Christ. They now serve with their four children in a Muslim country in the Middle East.
After 32 years, Pastor and Emma Jane retired, but began an exciting new era. They spent 10 years filling in for missionaries on furlough. They traveled to Scotland, England, Korea, and twice to South Africa. Pastor Bixler recalled that during his stint in South Africa, he preached a funeral for a man shot because he was in the protection racket. Police were all over the audience. Several gangs attended, and Pastor Bixler almost got shot.
Well, after a thorough search, the congregation called a new pastor from faraway California. In 1996, Pastor Paul Hamilton arrived with his wife Suzanne and four children. We welcomed Zachary, age 12, Hunter, 8, Sterling, 6, and Savannah, 2. As of this year, Pastor Hamilton has served here for 27 years.
And Pastor Bixler had served for 32 years. So 5 more years and he'll make it the same amount. Many others grew up at WBC and went on to serve the Lord as pastors, wives of pastors, Christian school teachers, military chaplains, and staff at Christian colleges. The glory goes to God for working through His Word and His servants to bring many to salvation. These 36 names include many you will not recognize. It probably should include others that we don't even know about. In fact, every member of Westboro Bible is serving the Lord in the place of God's choosing. This is an impressive list from such a small church. How many of you can read all those names? Are they too small to read? Well, we didn't think we'd need to read them out loud because there are so many. But I'm sure there are some names you recognize there. Jill... Jody Meyer. as 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him.
Knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance. So this is our challenge here today. At this point, when WBC is 60 years old, God still has work for us to do to be about our Father's business. And so we just thank the Lord for this. Thus endeth. However, if any of you wish to come and look at it more closely, I'll have the computer out back for a little while, and we can review some of the slides that some of you maybe couldn't read very well. So we just praise the Lord for a day. Thank you for... Pastor Wyatt for coming this morning and reminding us of God's grace in working in a church for this long and keeping it going. So we thank Him for that. So let's go ahead and we'll close our presentation in prayer. Then Pastor Smith will come up and close the service. Thank you, Lord, for the great grace that you have for us. Thank you for your Son that came through your grace and died on the cross for us. What a blessing to know that. What a blessing to know that He will build His church and that You will keep it and take care of us. And thank You for the local church here and the way You have worked through it. We pray for the next 60 years will be as true a blessing to all. We thank You for the day that we can come together and study Your Word and look in it. Pray that we would ever be mindful of the things that You have for us there. And just thank You for this time together now in Jesus' name. Amen.